So how are my superheroes today? Are you good? I can't hear you. Are you good? Yeah. Yeah, just turn to the person next to you and say, I don't wear a cape, but I'm a superhero. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. But it's true. Every day, we put on our armor and we go out to save the world. Amen? Let me see if this thing's going to work for me. Swimming against the current. Once in my life, I nearly drowned. My foot hooked up in some weed, and I nearly drowned. At least I think I nearly drowned, because it's really hard to actually tell if you're nearly drowned or if you're 5 minutes away from drowning when you're in the middle of it. You don't really care. You just want to get your face above the water. Am I right? New Zealand, we have a lot of beaches. And a lot of people say, oh, it must be great to live in New Zealand, all those beaches. You're on an island, there's beaches everywhere. Well, I got to tell you, down south where I'm from, there are a lot of beaches. And a lot of them will kill you. They're dangerous. It disappears down into the deeps really fast. We have riptides and currents that'll drag you out into the open water. And we're taught, everyone, right throughout the schools, right throughout the country, that you don't swim directly against that current. You swim sideways and get out of it before you're dragged out to sea. Better still, never get caught in one of those rips to begin with. Watch out for it. Look for the signs of it on the beach. They tell you if there's a quiet spot where there's no waves, don't swim there because it's a rip. In the world today and in our fallen hearts, there is a prevailing current that pulls us away from the things of God. So the question today is, are you swimming against the current? See if it's going to work for me. Remember these things. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Swim towards him and you'll be safe from the storm. Safe from the tides of this world that seek to pull you under. Elizabeth said it well. Swim together. We need to pray for each other and encourage each other. And people, if you feel like you're drowning, tell someone, because you never know how long it'll be before you drown completely, and then it's too late. We're looking today at 2 Peter 1, 5 to 15. So let's have a look at that. Oop, wrong button. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. And also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Let's pray. Lord, we give our hearts and our minds to you this morning. Show us what it is that you want us to know. Speak within us. Bring us closer to you. Help us to swim against the current of this world strongly in your power together so that we may show the world your ways. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Peter knows that his time is short. The laying aside of his earthly dwelling, his body, it's imminent. And he wants to give some final instructions. And those instructions tell us to swim with God's current, not with the world. To be in touch with the Holy Spirit, not the demonic depravity of the world's humanistic sentiment. Now, the main thought last week is this. Our goal is life and godliness. The source of strength to become godly is divine power. We cannot do it on our own. And the connection between the goal of godliness and the source of divine power is knowing and trusting the promises of God. You see, we are the light bulbs of our neighborhood. We are the light bulbs. And God is the generator of electricity. And the cables that carry that power are God's promises that have been revealed to us. Since God has given power for godliness, we must strive to become godly. We work at moral virtue because God has already worked for us and is at work in us. Now, don't reverse that order. Don't get it round the wrong way. Never say, I will work out my salvation in order that God might work in me. But say with the Apostle Paul, I work out my salvation, for it is God who works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Never say, I press on to make it my own in order that Christ might make me his own. But say with Paul, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Philippians 3:12. Otherwise, you're white-knuckling it and doing it in your own power and not in his. Let me bring it home for you a bit. There is a world of difference in a marriage where the husband doubts the love of his wife and works hard to earn it, and a marriage where the husband rests in the certainty of his wife's love and makes effort joyfully not to live unworthily of it. Peter's point here is, God is for us. Did you get that? God is for us. Are you hearing me? God is for us. His love is for us. And so we work at living worthily of that love. Now, in the confidence of that love, we must make effort not to live unworthily of that love. So swim forward in faith through love. Verses 5 to 7 describe how we should live. It's a big list. It's a big ask. We need his help. Can I get an amen? There are 8 things he mentions. Faith. Moral excellence, which can also be rendered virtue or fortitude. Knowledge. Self-control. Perseverance, which can also be rendered steadfastness or patience. Godliness. Brotherly kindness, and love. Now, the list begins with faith and ends with love. I like that. I think there's a lot of significance in the beginning and end of this list. And that agrees with the rest of the New Testament, confidence or faith in God's promise is the way we plug into God's power and love, even love for our enemies. Between faith and love are six other qualities we should have. But I don't think that Peter means that we should add them in this order, though. Because there's a lot of crossover in these qualities. I think they all meld together. For example, love is already present in patience. We can see that in 1 Corinthians 13:4. It's not just an add-on. Therefore, I think that what Peter is saying here in verses 5 to 7 is this. True Christians do not stop pursuing growth in grace. We go on. We advance. We apply ourselves with diligence to increase in these things, as verse 8 says. Peter's calling us here to a holy dissatisfaction with our present level of achievement. We're called to swim against the current of this present world and follow the Holy Spirit and become more and more like Christ every day. So the literal translation of verses 5 to 7 is not add to your faith virtue and so on. It's furnish in your faith virtue or supply in your faith virtue. You can hear this kind of chant going on. Onward, forward, advance, jayo. I apologize if my tones are way off. It's like this. As you have obtained faith in Christ and stand in it, now apply yourself diligently to advance in moral excellence. And as you stand in that, do not be satisfied, but press on to increase your knowledge of God's will. And as you stand in that, do not be satisfied, but be diligent to enlarge your capacities of self-control and mastery of your passions. And as you stand in that, don't be satisfied, but work in every form of patience and peace. And in that, let devoutness and holiness and love of God grow. And in that, work to have warm love for other believers. And in and through it all, grow in love towards everyone. In other words, onward, forward, advance, jayo. How many of you think you can meet that list by the end of the day? Anybody? Because if you do, come pray for me, because I need some help. It's a lot. So again, swimming against the current, let's do it in His strength. In fact, let's get out of the current of the world, and let's swim with His current where He can sweep us to where we need to go and to what we need to be to save a dying world. But I have a challenge today. It's a challenge for me. So because I'm being challenged, I'm going to challenge you as well. You can share my pain. Do you like that? Do you like sharing people's pain? Share my pain today. The evidence that God's power has been given to you through faith is that you are now making every effort, as verse 5 says, to advance in the qualities of Jesus Christ. This is true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read again verses 8 to 11. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. I gotta say, it's possible to make a start in Christian life, but then to become indifferent and unfeeling and careless of God's grace, and then we drift into destruction. 2 Peter 2:20 says, for if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. Now, when I think back to what my life was like before I met Jesus, I don't want to go back there. And I certainly don't want the last state to be worse than the first. You see, if the knowledge of God's promises does not spur us on to swim against the tide, then we will be barren and fruitless and drift to our destruction. And worse still, we'll become a stumbling block for others. The problem we have if we do not work toward all the fruit of faith is that we are blind in two directions. When we look to the future, it's all a mist, and the promises of God are swallowed up in a clamoring of worldly longings that we can never hope to fulfill. And when we look to the past, the forgiveness that made us so excited at first is almost forgotten, and all we see is an empty prayer and a meaningless baptism. In other words, just as in verse 3 last week, the power of godliness flows through knowledge of God. So in verse 9, blindness to the past and future work of God blocks that power and leaves us dead in the water, drifting towards destruction. And verse 10 makes it very clear that such blindness and powerlessness and fruitlessness leads us to the end. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Now, there's a danger here, and some of you may have already gone there. It's described in verses 8 and 9 as an incentive to advance in the fruits of faith. I don't believe it's the danger of slipping into the kingdom with no rewards. I actually think it's the danger of not being saved at all. Now, I believe, and you can choose to disagree with me, that this means that our lack of diligence in Christian morals and attitudes may be a sign that we were never called and are not among the elect and chosen to begin with. Now, however you've been taught on this matter of being called, please give very close attention to this verse. The assumption is that the whole world lies under the righteous judgment of God because of sin. But because of his great mercy, God decided that a people for his own would be saved by grace. These are the elect, the chosen, whom he has predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And Paul explains in Romans 8:30 that those elect whom he predestined to Christ-likeness, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, don't get me wrong. None of God's sheep will ever be lost. They are eternally secure. But from our side, the most important question of life is, am I among the elect who God predestines to be like Christ and then calls and justifies and glorifies forever? Am I one of his sheep? Am I a son or daughter of the living God? If we are, God wants us to know that we are. He wants us to have joyful assurance, because out of that assurance flows tremendous power and gives him the glory. Again, as I said before, we do not earn our choosing through works, but we do confirm and are assured of being chosen by working diligently at being filled with faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. It's the proof that we're swimming in the right direction. God predestined all the elect and chosen to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8. Therefore, the reassuring evidence of our election and choosing is our Christ-likeness. If we're moving towards it, we're swimming in the right direction. Are you feeling convicted? I know I am. Well, here's a little side note for those of you who, like me, are feeling convicted. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for Jesus Christ and his continual work within us, picking us up each time we fall. I count myself as the chief of sinners. And within myself, I know I have a desire to swim towards the goal of being more Christ-like, having more self-control. And the comfort I take from that is that I know that at least my moral compass is being set by the Holy Spirit and aiming me towards being more like Jesus. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whew. People, if you find yourself doubting whether you've made your calling sure, come pray with us after the service or with a friend that's come with you. Let's not go another day feeling that way. Let's be absolutely sure that we have committed ourselves to the cause for Christ and do it today. You see, if you come an hour and a half from Nansha or wherever it is you come from, it's easier to swim together. It's far more easy to swim together. Right? Look around you. Look around you. Look at all these beautiful faces. Some of you aren't looking. You're very disobedient. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of God? Yeah. You see, schools of fish swim together for direction and protection. We need Jesus, we need God's power, we need each other. I was in a gym once. Now, I just pause for a brief moment here because some of you could be forgiven for believing that I've never set foot in a gym in my life. I won a competition and I got a personal trainer along with it. It was a long time ago, as I'm sure you can tell. And this personal trainer of mine, I'm pretty sure that he was the brother of the devil, because he would make me work so hard that I would just plead with him to stop. But one day, I'm lying on this bench and I'm pushing this bar up with these horrible things called weights on either end. And he said, go on, another one. And I went, no, I can't do it. He said, another one. He used to talk like that, another one. And he said, I'll help you. And he put his hands under the bar. So I pushed up another one. He said, again. I was like, no, no, please, no. I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to die. Stop being a baby. Another one. I'll help you. So he had his hand under the bar. I can't remember how many more I did, but I know I couldn't put my shirt on and take it off afterwards because my arms wouldn't work. The amazing thing was, after I'd done however many extra that he evilly made me do, he turned around and he said this to me and he blew me away. He said, I never touched the bar. He never touched the bar. It was all me. But it all came from here, not from here, which is great because I still have this. I just don't have this anymore. But that's the point. We are stronger together. Amen? When we're saying, Jayo, when we're there for each other, that's what we need. That's why the disciples were sent out in pairs. That's why Jesus tells us never to stop meeting together. We need each other. This brotherly kindness aspect is absolutely vital to keep going and not giving up. The minute you start to drown people, the minute you start to feel that you're on your own, find someone. And if you're here today and you feel like you don't have any friends, before you leave here today, tell someone, I feel like I don't have any friends. And you'll have one at that moment. I pray in Jesus' name. Turn to the person next to you and say, I got your back. Now turn to the other way and say, I got yours too. You see, this is precisely what Peter's trying to achieve here. Work on making it absolutely clear to yourself and the world out there that we're called, we're elected, we're empowered by God's promises. Make it absolutely crystal clear that you're in this world and not of it by swimming together against the current of the world and swimming towards the safety that is God's calling and election and also the good works that he has prepared for us to do. Stand strong in your faith, pressing on to moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. John said in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. The confirmation of our calling is our progress in being sanctified and changed, being born again anew, being conformed to Christ, renewing a right spirit, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. God predestined all the chosen to be conformed to the image of Christ. Therefore, the reassuring evidence of our election is the Christ-likeness that we're striving for. We can rejoice in our calling and election as sons and daughters of the living God together. Verses 10 and 11 tell us, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Whew, I like that. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, these are not the wages that we pay to earn entrance into the kingdom of God, but they are the necessary evidence that our trust in God's promise is genuine. And in that way, they are a confirmation of our call and election. They are the evidence that we are swimming in the right direction. So it's application time. Oy. Here we go. Yeah, scary is right. Are you making every effort towards moral excellence? Now remember, I say this to my kids all the time. Every time I point the finger at you, there's three fingers pointing back at me, which is why all my kids go like this. Are you making every effort towards moral excellence? Are you making every effort to increase your knowledge of God's character and his will? Are you making every effort to strengthen your power of self-control? Are you making every effort to enlarge your capacity for patience? Are you making every effort to cultivate godliness to develop a heart for God? Are you making every effort to grow warm in your affection for your fellow believers? And are you making every effort to stir up love in your will for the person you dislike the most? I chucked that one in there for me, but you can feel my pain. Sometimes we need someone else to point out to us when we're not doing this, because sometimes we're blind to our own problems. And that's another reason why we need each other and why we need each other to swim straight, because we need the opinions of other people as well to be able to point out, hey, brother, sister, you're swimming the wrong way. And we need the power of God to continue swimming. Because I'm telling you right now, that list, I'll probably blow it before I leave this room. But I'm praying that through God's strength and through the combined strength of you, my brothers and sisters, that I'll get better at it day by day by day. Will you help me? Well, I pledge to help you too. If these things are in you and increasing, you will not be fruitless. You will never stumble, and you will enter the eternal kingdom of Christ. But if these things are not your greatest concern, then it's because you've shut your eyes to the beauty of God's promises, and you've forgotten the amazing gift of being forgiven yourself. Therefore, the Word of God warns us against being lazy in our faith and drifting away from Jesus Christ, our only hope. The Word encourages us to fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12 and 19. To lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and run with perseverance the race before us. Hebrews 12:1. To press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. To advance and grow and go forward in moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly affection and love. 2 Peter 1:5 to 7. And in this way, to reassure our hearts and make our confidence firm that we are indeed called to share in God's glory and excellence. 2 Peter 1:10 and 3. I'll leave those there for you to meditate on. They are our call. Advance. Jayo. As we started, now we finish. Remember, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Swim towards him, and you will be safe from the storm and safe from the tides of this world that seek to pull you under. Swim together. We need to pray for each other and encourage each other. Let me add, if you're standing on the promises of God, let me add, if you are standing on the promises of God, you must remember some of the promises of God are promises of discipline. And we need that from each other as well, don't we? The promises of God include that as sons and daughters, we will be disciplined and shown when we are going the wrong way. That is evidence of love, and we need it. So swim together, pray for each other, encourage each other. And if you feel like you're drowning, tell someone. Tell someone today. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Then I'm going to pray. And if you are in that position today, please do not leave today before we've prayed for you or you've prayed with a friend. Father God, oh, I confess there are times when I just want to stop swimming. There are times where trying to be like Christ seems so hard. But then, Lord, remind me, remind us of his love for us on the cross so that we will not give up. And Lord, I pray for those here today who are feeling like giving up. Lord, may they come and receive the comfort and help and strength that they need. Help us to make sure that our calling and election is sure today by showing the evidence of a mind that is trying to become more like Christ. But I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and your love that goes beyond anything.